You're listening to The Read Out, one development leader, their big idea, and how it can shape the future of Australian development assistance. Hosted by Lab CEO, Bridie Rice.
Foreign Minister Penny Wong and Minister for International Development Pat Conroy have been unequivocal when they've said that Australia's new development policy will put locally led development at the heart of how Australia works in the region. Now, they've said we will be a better listener. We're going to be working harder to understand the needs of the region, and we will be less transactional in the delivery of our development assistance. For us here at the Lab, this is International Development 101, acting on the intelligence and insights of people on the ground who are experts in their communities, experts in their organisations, people who are leading development in the Pacific, Southeast Asia and beyond. But we do also see that it's sometimes tough to do. Now, when our government says it wants to listen, whose voices do they hear? What happens when they ask for things Australia can't deliver? Or when partner governments want things that are different to their business or community sectors? Now, a few weeks back, the Lab launched its latest pulse check, where we asked over 120 non-government experts from Indonesia, Myanmar, and the Philippines what they would do if they held the purse strings on Australia's development assistance. I'm lucky enough to have our analyst who leads this project with me today, Mira Silistianto. Now, Mira is an Indonesian-Australian analyst at the Lab who is the mastermind of the Lab's partnerships with experts in the region. She's also an all-round great colleague to work with. Mira, it's great to have you on the readout today.
It's great to be here, Bridie.
Now, this is the first of a three-part series examining what non-government experts in Southeast Asia believe will shape the development of their countries and what role they want Australia to play in it. Today, we're discussing Indonesia. Now, Mira, you've spent the last few months of your life up to your neck in ideas and insights from experts in Indonesia and making sense of them for Australian policymakers. What was on your mind as you put pen to paper writing up the results of the pulse check?
Yeah, thanks, Bridie. Well, just quickly for any listeners who aren't familiar, the Pulse Check is, in its essence, an expert policy-oriented piece of research that aims to improve how Australian policymakers listen to, think about, and act on the advice of development and foreign policy experts in the region. So it puts 40-plus non-government experts in the shoes of Australian policymakers and asks their advice on the next steps for policy planning and for implementation in Indonesia. And importantly, when we say non-government, we're not just talking about civil society leaders, NGO leaders, but also members of business, academia, the contractors and consultants who are working day in and day out on aid projects, and also the policy pundits across in Indonesia like us. And importantly, it's a highly future-focused piece of work. So we're asking what disruptions are coming down the line that are most critical for our countries to address together. What should Australia do more of or less of in its development program in Indonesia? And most practically, how should the Australian government and the broader Australian community think about partnership and connection within the region? So what was on my mind? It was honestly how to do justice to all of the expertise being shared, because it's a huge amount of responsibility to be given all of that insight and trusted to write it up for government here in Canberra.
Mira, can you talk us through a couple of the headline findings?
Yeah, absolutely. So some of the big themes that were coming through were experts in Indonesia are really calling for Australia to be braver and more sophisticated in the governance work that it does in country. So governance is already the number one sector in which Australia channels official development assistance to Indonesia. And Australia, according to many of these experts, does have a good track record in that space. But what they were really calling attention to is Australia's engagement on some of those tougher themes like rule of law, anti-corruption work. They really wanted to see better and more sophisticated work in that space. They were also calling for a continuation of Australia's strong track record in human capital work, in gender equality, disability and social inclusion, in education. But they really want to see the broadening of that work to some of the less serviced regions by Australia, like eastern Indonesia. And the other headline item that we saw is that coming down the line, the biggest disruption to development in Indonesia is and will continue to be climate change. And the experts were pretty unequivocal about that.
Mira, I have had the privilege of watching you at work on this project. You've been trawling the data and making sense of it with experts from Indonesia. What surprises you or puzzles you most about the findings that came across your desk in this project?
That's honestly one of my favourite questions about this work. I would say that when it comes to the data with Indonesia, probably the biggest surprise for us was seeing just how low sectors like infrastructure, trade and economic services ranked when participants were asked to choose what they would like to see Australia focus the most money on and the least money on. And so these items fell really low down the bottom of that list. What we saw when we dug into the qualitative data, into the insights from this expert cohort, was that, of course, no one's saying that these things aren't absolutely crucial for development in Indonesia. Nobody's arguing that. But what they were saying, and the nuance behind that data, is that they are unconvinced that Australia has the most sophisticated offering in the donor landscape on things, particularly things like infrastructure. So participants were saying, look, the multilaterals, the World Bank, the Asian Development Bank, they just have a stronger track record and they have so much more money to spend.
Mira, this is interesting, right? What I feel as though you're saying very politely is that the areas where Australia is increasing its investment in things like infrastructure is the very area where our non-government experts are unconvinced that this is Australia's best play. Can you explain this conundrum for Australian policymakers? What would they be making of that result?
I think the trickiest thing for Australian policymakers to grapple with at the moment is if we have these new and these continuing infrastructure investments in Indonesia that have been in the pipeline for the Australian Development Program for some time, or these new recent announcements that we're seeing come out, then if I were a policymaker, I would be asking myself, okay, some of our stakeholders are unconvinced by the value of this work. What is it going to take if we are going to continue with these projects? What is it going to take to convince them that this is worthwhile? And so I think that really comes to the question of, you know, what's Australia's comparative advantage? I would argue that some of what the data is telling us is that Australia has a really strong record on support for gender equality and some of those broader social development pieces. And so I would be really looking for the ways in which Australia can build that really crucial work into the infrastructure programs that it's delivering.
So you think the needle can still be threaded, I hear.
Yeah.
Mira, any other puzzles or surprises you want listeners to understand about this data?
I think what one of the really big takeaways from me is that this data set is a really useful but small indicator of what's on the minds of experts in Indonesia. And so if I were a policymaker in the Australian government at the moment, I'd be considering looking at this good information that we're getting about what Australia's reputation is or isn't in Indonesia, and then looking for the data and the evidence to back that up. So doing a bit more digging to see the performance data on gender equality progress in Indonesia, for example, and see what's actually been producing really strong outcomes and what hasn't. Likewise, in the governance space, you know, we're getting this huge endorsement for Australia to pour official development assistance into the governance space. But what's actually working? And are we currently putting the money into the areas of governance that these experts are really saying is most critical?
Well, Mira, would you believe time is almost up? And now it is time for you to tackle our standing lab hypothetical. And for you, it may not be so hypothetical, given I know that you're going to be in Jakarta in a few weeks' time. But in any event, I want you to imagine you are boarding an elevator and you find yourself standing next to Australia's head of mission in Indonesia. Now, you only have 60 seconds to convince them to make one key change when it comes to Australia's approach to development in Indonesia. What's it going to be?
Ambassador, you have a whole segment of stakeholders who want your attention and who have brilliant advice to share with you, who are working day in and day out on development challenges in Indonesia and with communities. They want you to connect better and they really want to make sure that Australia is delivering development in the best possible way that it can. I would say find more and better ways to listen to these groups. And when you are connecting with your non-government stakeholders, make sure that you are reaching as broad a range of experts as you can. And then, look, the final thing that I would add in my last 10 seconds in the elevator would be listening, of course, isn't enough. It's the acting on the things that you hear that really makes the difference.
Well, Mira, thank you so much for taking this time for a chat. It's been wonderful to have you on the readout today.
Thanks, Bridie. Great to be here.
Join me next time on The Readout, where each episode we sit down with one author, one big idea, and talk about how it can shape the future of Australia's development assistance. If you liked hearing from Mira, then you can find a link to her policymakers brief as well as all the PulseCheck data in our show notes. And if you want extra previews, insights, and development analysis, then sign up to our email at devintelligencelab.com. A special thank you to the lab team behind the scenes, Ruby Solwick and Walter Kalnagy. Music by Viljami Metto. I'm Bridie Rice. This is The Readout. Talk soon.
We at the lab acknowledge the traditional owners of the lands on which this podcast is recorded, the Ngunnawal and Ngambri people, and we extend our respects to their elders past, present and emerging. We're inspired by the storytelling tradition of the world's oldest living culture, and we pay homage to it when we share our stories or intelligence on this podcast.